2 Kings chapter number 5, you have your Bibles, hope you have them open. We'll be looking at some scripture in just a moment. But you know, we're people that like matters to be like concrete. I mean, firm and set. We like to see something before we'll believe that it's real. In other words, we like to see it and maybe even handle it. We want to touch it, want to hear it, want to smell it, want to taste it, and all those things that go along with it. But really, what we want to do is experience all of that ourselves. You know, somebody described to me years ago the Grand Canyon, and they told me of its beauty. They told me of its width and its depth and how the sun came, would shine and change the color of the rocks. And I used to think about it must be a beautiful place, and I saw the pictures. But until I went there and experienced it, I really never had the appreciation for the Grand Canyon like I do now, because I've been there and I've saw the vastness and I've saw the things that was there. Somebody can tell you about holding their child for the first time. You know, they can tell you all about it, what it's like, but there's nothing like the day that you hold your own child for the first time. And to be able to feel the emotions and feel the things that you would feel as you do that. Somebody could describe to you today, as Cal just sung, if I wouldn't have been here, they could have told me what a beautiful job he did, and I appreciate the beautiful song that he sung. And I'm sure I would have knew it was good because he always sings good. But I would not have really had the appreciation for it had I not experienced it myself. You know, all the experiences I mentioned are along with countless thousands of others that I could talk about all day today. And that's how we live our lives. We live our lives experiencing and doing and seeing things and knowing that it's there and it's real. And even songs and various things can bless our heart. Well, there's another realm I want to talk to you today about, and it's the spiritual world in which we live. If we're saved by the grace of God, we live in a spiritual world, and that spiritual world is a little bit different than the physical world which we live in. We may know concrete things like tomorrow when we go to the bank, we know how much money we got there. We go to the grocery store, we know how much we can buy or what we have. But in the spiritual world, most of what we do is by faith, just believing that God is able to do. And so this morning, from our text, I want to just begin by reading verse 1. We'll be looking at the first 19 verses today, but I'm just going to read verse 1 now for sake of time. The Bible said, "Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." And I want to speak to you today on the subject of a little faith, what a little faith can do in each and every one of our lives if we just believe God and trust Him. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together this morning. I pray that you would help me. I pray that you would give me the wisdom, the strength, and the help that I need today to be able to deliver a message that would be pleasing to you. And Lord, may we learn today how weak maybe our faith is and how strong it needs to be. And Father, we ask now that you would guide and direct, have your will and way. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Naaman was a man just like you and I were. He was experienced in living in the physical world. He had, we find in his story a lot of details about it. His world was a world of war. It was following commands. It was a world of hard, concrete realities. He knew when they were going to battle or whatever they were doing. He had a plan. It was all laid out. And I like to take Naaman's story and talk to you about experiencing and knowing something that cannot be touched, cannot be heard, seen, or even tasted or smelled. I want to talk to you about a little faith and the details of Naaman's life and what God did. In verse 1, we just read to you, and I want you to see, first of all, something about Naaman. Naaman was a good man. He was a man of good character. The Bible says, we find in verse number 1, which I just read, he introduces him as there was a man that was at the top of his game. He was very successful in his life and the place that he was. In fact, the Bible says he was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. That means he was the top military general. He was the man in charge of the country. He was the great general. He was the commander of all the king's troops. There could not have been a greater or higher position bestowed upon anyone than to have that calling. The Bible said he was a great man with his master. In other words, he pleased the one that he was serving in the master. The great word great refers to social status. The king held Naaman in high regard. He held him in a place that was above all the rest because he knew that he was dependable and he would do what he said he would do. The Bible goes on to call him an honorable man. I'm telling you, he had quite a character sketch here that is given of him. Of all these things, he was the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master. He was honorable. The word honorable means lifted up. Not only did the king hold him in high regard, but all of Syria held him in high regard because the Lord had used Naaman to deliver the people of Syria from their enemies. Now, the Bible goes on to tell us even more about Naaman. The Bible said he was also a mighty man in valor. You see, in this phrase, it means he was a capable warrior who was the hero in the eyes of the king of Syria and in the eyes of the people of Syria. Naaman was a great man. Now, that's a wonderful thought today to think about it and understand, but here we find that here's a general, here's a warrior, he has great power in his country. But you know, most of the qualities that I've given to him have basically could be found in many of us, because we find Naaman was good in the eyes of the king and the people of Syria. And I assure you this morning, in the eyes of someone, you are special to them and they hold you in high regard. You may be a father, you may be a mother, you may be a son or a daughter or aunt or uncle or whatever. But today I believe that everybody has somebody that thinks of them in a good way and thinks of them as being honorable and want to recognize them in what they do. To be seen as a great person by someone who loves you is a wonderful privilege. And I want you to know today, I can always say this, no matter who loves you, I know that God loves you. And God loves you with an everlasting love that will never stop. But yet, it's a wonderful thing when our family loves us. It's a wonderful thing when our church family loves us. It's a wonderful thing when we love one another, and we ought to do that. And so today, there's many that I could speak highly of because I hold them in high regard. And Naaman was that type of man. But the thing that we come to and see in his character, Naaman had a complication. We find with all the greatness, and by the way, greatness is wonderful, and the characteristics of Naaman are great. But friend, all the characteristics of greatness will not take care of the problems that we have in our life, and namely, the problem that Naaman had. The Bible said, but he was a leper. I think when we think about that, we reveal the good qualities of him, but then it just seems like at the end of that verse, boy, you're getting all built up and pumped up and say, man, this is a great man. And then all of a sudden, but he was a leper. We think about lepers. We think about a person that is afflicted with one of the most awful, dreaded, horrible diseases that there is. It appears from the text that we find in verse 11 that actually Naaman had just gotten it, I believe. If you'll look with me in verse number 11, the Bible said, and again, we'll get to this in a minute, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. So it appears that he was just starting out and he had just got maybe one spot that had come up. And so maybe he was just starting out. But we find here that Naaman, because he lived in Syria, he held a position as the commanding officer. They were not subject to the law of God as the others were. They were not treated as outcasts like the Gentiles were, so he was able to continue where he was. But regardless of all that, he was still a leper. In fact, the Gentiles would have to carry a sign that said leper in order that other people would get away from him and not get anywhere near him. He had a big problem. Naaman is a man who is in serious trouble. Literally, leprosy kills. It takes a period of time. We're going to talk a little bit about it in just a minute. Today's society, we don't call it leprosy. We call it Hansen disease. If it's caught early enough, it can be healed. It's an infectious bacterial disease. And yet, in Naaman's day, a diagnosis meant the sentence of death. There was really nothing nobody could do. Nobody, that is, but God. And that's exactly what we see transpiring here in this passage of Scripture. Leprosy was incurable in the Bible times. And I'm grateful today that we've come so far with medicine and able to be able to see things that they are. But we find leprosy much is like the fact of sin in our life, how it destroys us. Leprosy afflicted the whole body. It was covered in white, scaly spots. A disease progressed. The body would have been covered with pus-filled nodules. I know that's terrible sounding, but it would have been an awful disease. I don't relate it to that because most people get over that, but I've heard of people having the shingles, and they'll break out with blisters all around their midsection or in their head or other places, and I think about how bad it is, but think about somebody with leprosy, with those pus-filled nodules, and the sufferer would go through a state of decomposition. I remember years ago, and I don't know if this is what the man had, but I remember as a young boy, there was a man that I knew that lived here in town. Literally, his nose had been eaten off. It was gone. And that's exactly what would happen with those with leprosy. A leprosy attacked the nervous system. The people that would get leprosy, they would many times would sit down, maybe a beggar or whatever they are, but they may go to sleep. And by affecting the nervous system, they could not feel the pain of where the leprosy was. So sometimes, and again, this is not pleasant, but the rats may come and gnaw on them while they're sleeping, and they'd have no idea that it was happening until they woke up and was able to see it. The trauma to the body is terrible. Now, Naaman has seen leprosy. He knows what leprosy will do. And here he is now, a great man, with all the accolades that you could give a man. He's a man of great power and great strength. But let me remind you today, nobody's exempt from things that come in our life. And we must understand that as we move through life. Leprosy usually ran its course within about 9 years. The person would have it and then they would literally die. But as I started to say a while ago, the Bible pictures leprosy as a picture of sin. We find here in Naaman's complication that we find here that the Bible uses leprosy as a picture of sin, and it affects in our lives. The leper was considered the embodiment of impurity. The external defilement of the disease was seen to represent the internal defilement of the heart. You know, we don't have leprosy so much today. We don't see it. But what we have is a sin problem. And even though it may not even be evident on the outside, it works internally to destroy us. The Bible said, and I'm going to turn over there if you can if you want, but it just be there a minute. But I want to go to Leviticus chapter number 13, and I want to share with you just some scripture there that it talks about the matter of leprosy. The Bible said, I believe it's in verse 4, it said, if the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and the sight of it is not deeper than the skin, the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. So they were to be shut up and cast away. No one here may have leprosy today, but everybody today has the sin problem that we have to deal with in our life. The Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And we see here that like Naaman, we all but attach our life. We have problems that mars the whole body of our life. Our problem is the problem of sin. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but I think all of us today would have to admit that we all have problems with sin. The Bible said, him to know it to do good and doeth it not to him, it is sin. And I think today as we look at this and understand, a sin is a disease that we inherited from our father, who inherited it from his father, and right on down till we get back to Adam. The Bible said, wherefore, for one man, sin entered into the world, death was sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Leprosy starts small, then spreads. That's the way sin is. In Leviticus 13, in verse number 7, the Bible said, but if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he had seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. Leprosy starts small, it begins to spread. It may have that tiny spot, but it'll move on. Sin starts in a small way. Oh, it won't hurt to do this. I tell you today, Our society is so changed from what it used to be. As far as the young people, I was reading an article that somebody gave me this morning. Actually, I was reading it again. And it talked about the state of our youth today and in raising our children in the place that we are. But yet sin, very little can spread. And it doesn't seem to be harmful when it's small. It seems like we have it under control. In fact, today, a lot of times when children sin, we even as adults, if we're not careful, we think it's cute and we laugh at it. And we think that it's just really, really cute. But I'm going to tell you what might be cute today will bring sorrow tomorrow if it's not corralled and put in the place that it needs to be. Sin has a way of poisoning the entire body, destroying the entire life. Ask Achan if a little gold and silver and a garment was worth a life in the lives of his family in Joshua chapter 7. I would believe today that he would say no. Ask David if just a few stolen moments with another man's wife was worth the devastation and the calamities that came into his life later. I venture to say if you go read Psalm 51, you'll find out David said, no, it's not worth it. He repented and he cried out to God. The payoff of sin is never worth the price that we paid. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Leprosy isolates us, just as it would the leper being cast out and placed in a spot. We find today that leprosy isolates us. We're isolated from those who are clean. We are forced to dwell among the fringes of society, not be where everybody else is. It drives a wedge many times between family members, places them in places where they don't have the relationship they need to be. Sin has destroyed many a home, and sin will continue to destroy many a home if we don't understand the depths of the sin that comes in our life. We find leprosy destines things for the fire in chapter 13 of Leviticus in verse number 52. The Bible said, he shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen or in anything of skin, wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy. It shall be burnt in the fire. Friends, sin, somebody once said, will take you further than you want to go. Sin will cost keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. And unless you repent of your sin, you're destined for the fire. The Bible said, it's appointed that a man wants to die, and that, after that, the judgment. And yet, here's Naaman. Here's Naaman, just beginning with leprosy, realizing that he has a need, but yet understanding he's a great man of great power. A man that demands respect of others. A man that has been always able to do whatever he needed to do to make things work out. And now he's in a predicament. And he can't do anything about it, regardless of his power, his prestige, or his popularity. He has complications, but Naaman was a leper. He was a man living under a death sentence. Compared to leprosy, all the positive characteristics of Naaman's life made absolutely no difference. Friend, when death or when leprosy comes or when sin comes, it'll destroy our life and it'll take us to that place to where our life will be destroyed forever. But as we move on today, we see Naaman's character, and we see Naaman's complication, but then we see Naaman's crusade in verses 2 through 9. I want you, if you would, to look with me. Naaman has a deep and deadly problem. He needs healing. And I tell you today, if you're here today and you have sin in your life, if it's unconfessed sin, or if it's sin that has kept you from being saved, you need to confess that sin, ask God to forgive you for that sin, and to come into heart and give you eternal life. What he doesn't know is God's working in his life already. And by the way, I believe God's working in the lives of all of us all the time. I believe he died for the world. He desires that all people come to him and be saved by the grace of God. He desires that people repent of their sin and trust him as their personal Savior. But friend, we will never respond unless we heed the call or the drawing or the pulling of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Now, on one of Naaman's incursions as a general, he had went on a trip. And he had brought back a captive, he had captured a little girl that in verse number 2, and I want you to look with me there, and we'll go back to the text. In verse number 2, it said, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, I could take this verse and just preach a message on it, but here's a little girl that was willing to be used of God, and God used her in a mighty way. And we'll look at some of those things, but that's not the crux of the message today, so we'll not look at it in detail, but I want to remind you today that God can use little people. God can use you. He can use me. It don't make no difference who we are. So here he had brought back this girl. Naaman had give her to his wife and said, here, you can have her. She can be your maid. She can wait on you and give you the things that you need. But this little girl was very alert, and she realized that Naaman had the problem and what it was. And so one day she spoke to Naaman, his wife, and told her, said, I need to meet with Naaman. You need to tell Naaman that he needed to meet with the prophet that is in Samaria. She was referring to the prophet Elijah. She told her mistress that Elijah could recover him of his leprosy. Now, this Jewish servant is confident in God's prophet. I'll tell you what I like about the story. I like about the story that this had to do with God in his healing, but it had to do with a little girl that believed enough in God and had enough faith in God that she was willing to go to this great man, understanding that he was so much powerful, more powerful than she, to tell him where he needed to go in order to get healed. The Jewish servant is confident that God can do it. Look what she said in verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him from his leprosy. Oh, today, boy, I tell you, to be able to preach with the power of God enough to know that somebody could say, man, if you come to our church, we know that you'll hear the word of God and you'll hear from God, and God's able to do this and that. And I'm not saying today that God gives us power to heal. And I don't believe even in this circumstance, it was God that does the healing. But understand today that we preach, well, to preach with a power and a passion to where people may see Christ. And this girl, she was confident. She didn't even question it. She said, if he was in the presence of my prophet, the prophet that is in Samaria, he could recover him of his leprosy. We find here that the king of Syria sends a letter, and he sends a gift to the king of Israel, asking him to heal Naaman. We find in verse number 4, and one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is coming to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Now, that's quite powerful. Number one, I feel the little girl probably spoke with much more power even than the king did, because she knew the man of God and she knew exactly what he was able to do. However, we find that he went with a letter from the king. That's a great thing to be able to have a letter from the king declaring that, you know, that he's sending this letter and sent him to him in order that he might be healed. So when the king hears it, he was afraid. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Now the king of Israel thinks the king of Syria is trying to plot against him, to come against him in trying to trick him in some way. He said, who am I? I don't have power to give life or take life or heal or not heal. And so Elijah comes into the picture, and he hears about what's going on. The Bible said in verse 8, and it was so that when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. Again, a great statement there. But Elijah hears, and he goes, and he said, listen, send him to me. I got the answer. Friend, I'm going to tell you something today. It's God that does and has the power, but you and I have the answer. And I tell you, we need to share the answer with everybody we can, even as the little girl did, even as Elijah did when he got a hold of the king and told him, said, send him to me. Naaman is interested now. He's hearing all this, and he's interested in the potential of being cured. So he goes to Elijah's house. And notice in verse number 9, when he gets there, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots, and he stood at the door of the house of Elijah. Now, what I like about Naaman is he was willing to go to the prophet of God. In fact, I'll be honest with you, a lot of times when people get in trouble, the first person they'll call will be the man of God or a Christian in the church, maybe you. Now, not always, but it's many times people will call somebody they know that feels like they have a connection with God, right? Because it's only God that can do the healing. It's only God that can do the helping. And yet, some people neglect that. They go on in their sin. They continue the way they are. They don't take time to confess sin. They don't take time to get right with God. In fact, we've got people living in this world today that still don't even believe there is a God. And the Bible said there, the fool has said in his heart there is no God, but he continues to go his way. But at least Naaman was willing to go to the prophet. The doctors of Syria could not help him. The remedies that they had could not deliver him. Listen, what he was facing was death. And now we find him at the God of Israel. Unlike so in the world, Naaman was willing to go to God for help in this time of need. What a spiritual leper needs today is can only be provided by Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only he can take a life and make it whole. And I think today as we look at this, the promise of salvation that God gives to us, he said, whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely, and he shall never thirst again. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Naaman went on a crusade to get help from the Lord. Would it be to God today that people would come to the house of God? In fact, on occasion, we have lost people in the service. And what a wonderful thing it is. But friend, I believe if we were doing our best, we would be working hard to get as many lost people under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God as we could in order that they might hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving power. The world today is not interested, seemingly, in what God has. Naaman might not have been so interested until that spot appeared. People might not be too interested till that sin begins to explode, till that sin begins to expose, till that sin begins to spread, and then all of a sudden they want help and they need help. Sadly, today our world is on a crusade against God. They hate God, they hate the Word of God, they hate His name, they hate the demands that if they believe on Jesus Christ, they'll be saved. People talk about being saved and knowing Christ, but I want you to know today it's more than just saying it. It's more than just going through a prayer even. It's believing in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and accepted him as your Savior. Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In 1 Timothy 2:5-6, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I'm grateful today that there is one God and mediator. And in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than this that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I want you to know today, if you're a believer in Jesus, I challenge you to stop running from God. If there's sin in your life, you need to confess it. You need to get it right. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. You need to ask Him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sin. For He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said in John 6:37, and I like this, includes the sinner, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I'm grateful today. That was Naaman's crusade. He's trying to get healed. He went to the king. The king didn't know what to do. Elijah heard. Elijah told the king, said, send him to me. Naaman goes now to him. And then we see what transpires in verses 10. When Naaman arrives at his house in verse 9, Elijah doesn't even come out of the house. Now, Understand today, this is a great general. He was known all throughout the land, and Elijah just stays in the house. So Elijah, the Bible said in verse 10, sent a messenger unto him saying, he didn't even go out and tell him himself. He sent a messenger. He said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, that thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now, that was all he needed to do, by the way. The man of God had spoken. And when the man of God speaks and spoken and has spoken the word from God, you obey and God will do what he said he would do. But look what happened to Naaman. We read it a while ago. But Naaman was wroth. He got angry. He got mad. Who does he think he is? I'll tell you who he was. He was Elijah. He was the man of God. And I tell you, the man of God was greater than the great general. He was greater than the great leader of the armies of Syria. he was greater than all of those things. And so what does he do? He turns around and leaves. He left. He was wroth and he went away. And then we find some wise servants. By the way, and I want you to notice the people God used. It's not just Elijah. It's not just God. God used a little girl to get him to go. And now look in verse 13 at some of his servants that approach Naaman. Some of his servants obviously had some wisdom in them. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great things, wouldst thou have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? So again, they said, we don't understand. Why don't you understand what you're doing and realize it? But instantly, the Bible said, verse number 13, and then in verse 14, then went he down and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You see, the disease is gone. Naaman has been healed. It would have been so simple. And I'm glad that he had faith enough, even after the servant spoke and told him to go and do it. I'm grateful that he did it. But Naaman was cleansed. He was not cleansed, by the way, because he was a powerful man. He was not cleansed because he brought a rich gift. In verse number 15, the Bible said, and he returned to the man of God, he and his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there's no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Here he is offering him money. Listen, God didn't heal him for money. God healed him because he wanted him to know that there is a God in Israel, and he's the only God that could heal. Naaman was cleansed because a king made arrangements with the man of God. The man of God that was able to give him the wisdom and the words that he needed to know. The man that had heard from God told him to go down and dip in the old muddy Jordan 7 times. And they said, if he'd told you to do some great thing, would you have done it? He said, man, that's easy. Just go down there and dip 7 times. Aren't you willing to go? And the Bible said he went. You know what happened? It required faith on his part to believe that God would do what he said he would do. You know, sometimes God requires us to admit that we're sinners. He demands that we repent of our sins. He demands that we accept him by faith and understand the truth that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He said in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I like Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Friend, today nobody in here has physical leprosy, but we may have sin that's hindering our life. Friend, we'll never be able to have the relationship with God that we need until we get it right and confess our sin and come to him. So when he came, he was healed. And what God did for Naaman, he'll do for you this morning if you have a little faith. Again, I'm not saying that God always heals like he did Naaman. But friend, I'm going to tell you, God is in control of everything in our life. He controls our body. He controls our physical problems. He controls it all. And regardless of what takes place, we just need a little faith. A little faith that'll be saving faith. A little faith that'll be sustaining faith. A little faith that'll be satisfying faith. Because Naaman went home satisfied because he had been cleansed. He had been healed, and he had skin now, just like a new baby had. And yet, it was all because he obeyed and did what the man of God told him to do. I submit to you today, there's no greater command than to say, obey God, have faith in God. I tell you, I can't see what tomorrow holds. And I say it all the time, but I know who holds tomorrow. Brother David mentioned a while ago about having a CT scan. Lord willing, I'm having a CT scan tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and then I've got an appointment with my heart doctor tomorrow afternoon. And, you know, I don't know what the deal is. Last year, when they did a CT scan, they saw a spot in my lung. I think I mentioned that to some of you. So they're checking it out again after a year, and I pray it's nothing to it. But yet, I'm in God's hands, and I trust him, irregardless of what takes place in my life. God knows what's best for me. And all it takes is just a little faith to believe God is able to do what he said he would.